7. Archbishop's Palace, City of Telisburg, Kingdom of Old Carus.
The bishop is ready to see you now, Father.
Father Pater Wilson looked up from the small volume of the testimonies he'd been reading as he waited to find out why Bishop Heinrich had summoned him to the Archbishop's Palace. The fact that he'd been summoned here, rather than to the bishop's own residence, suggested that it was both official and that it dealt directly with either the Church of Carus as a whole, since the bishop was deputizing for Archbishop Michael during his absence, or with the affairs of the Royal Council of Old Carus, upon which the bishop also sat at the moment as Stainer's deputy. Beyond that, however, he didn't have a clue, and so he'd striven to possess his soul in patience while he waited to find out. Now he stood and followed the underpriest into the archbishop's office. Bishop Heinrich stood, holding out his hand across the desk as Wilson entered the office. The intendant bent over the hand, kissing Wagner's ring, then straightened. Wilson liked the bishop, and he respected him, yet it still seemed subtly wrong to see him sitting behind Stainer's desk, be it ever so temporarily.
"Just how Carisian have I become?" Wilson wondered wryly, then brushed the thought aside, folded his hands in the sleeves of his cassock, and regarded Wagner with polite attentiveness.
"You sent for me, my lord?"
"Yes, yes, as a matter of fact, I did, Father," Wagner replied, and pointed at the armchair beside Wilson. "Please sit."
"Thank you, my lord."
Wilson settled into the chair, but he never took his eyes from Wagner's face, and the bishop smiled slightly. Then he leaned back in his own chair, smile vanishing, while his right hand toyed with the scepter he wore around his neck.
"I'm sure you've been at least mildly curious about why I asked you to come visit me today, Father."
"I must admit the question did cross my mind," Wilson conceded, when Wagner paused.
"There were two things I needed to speak to you about, actually, Father."
Wagner's voice was suddenly much graver, and Wilson felt his own eyes narrow in reaction to the shift in tone.
"Before I deal with those, however, Father Pater, I want to express, once again, my condolences for the execution, the murder, of your father and your uncle. I have no wish to reopen the wound I know their deaths inflicted upon you, but I bring it up once more at this point because there are two additional things I need to say to you, and both relate to your loss."
Wilson's face tightened. Not simply with the memory of past grief, but with the tension of present worry. He hadn't heard a word from Lisbeth Wilson since her single letter had arrived. At least he hadn't heard of her or the children's being taken, yet that was very little comfort for his ignorance about where they were, how they were faring, or if they were even still alive. By now, even someone with his deep personal faith was beginning to feel almost frantic with worry.
"The first thing I wanted to say to you," Wagner continued, "is that the manner in which you've dealt with this news has only deepened my already profound respect for you as a person, as a child of God, and as a priest."
The bishop held Wilson's eyes steadily.
"It would have been only too easy to fall into personal despair upon receiving such news, especially in the absence of any news about the rest of your family. And when the murders of so many of your father's friends and their families was confirmed, it would have been equally easy to turn against God himself for permitting such hideous crimes to be committed in the name of his church. You did neither of those things. Nor, despite your own loss, your own lack of information about your brothers and sisters and stepmother, did you falter for a moment in your duties as one of God's priests. Archbishop Michael has frequently mentioned to me the high regard in which he holds you. What I wish to say to you today, Father, is that over the last few months I've come to understand, fully understand,
precisely why he feels that way about you.